Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Max Hurz, who handles the Predators' pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Max, good morning. How are we doing?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. So, Max, obviously not the result the Predators were looking for on Saturday. They fall 3-0 to the hands of the Washington Capitals and a Caps team that lost two pretty important pieces throughout the course of that game as well. Preds just not really seeming to find traction right now. What are you noticing from this group coming off of their loss against Washington on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the big thing Saturday, especially early on, they weren't able to cash in on their biggest chances. They had some chances early in the game, including one on the first shift of the game. Jakob Trenin got the puck and went right to the net, but they just couldn't get anything to fall against Darcy Kemper, who was, I thought, really, really good in his first appearance at Bridgestone Arena as a Washington Capital. So he's played well against the Predators on a lot of different teams. He did it again for an Eastern Conference team on Saturday. But I think if some of those chances had fallen early on, we would have been talking about this game really differently.
What's the big picture concern level here, Max, with this team? I know that they had the much-needed breakout win over St. Louis, but offensively, you know, I mean, the numbers are pretty grim. Power play, pretty grim. What's the long-term big picture concern level right now?
I don't think we're at concern level yet. But I think those things like power play and the other things you're talking about need to start trending upward. And they've got a good opportunity to do it on a five-game road trip. They'll start against two really good teams in the Oilers and the Flames. But then you've got the Canucks, who are struggling a little bit, the Kraken, who are a little bit up and down, and then the Avalanche, who will be in their first game back from their own Europe trip, which the Preds have seen how that goes. So it's a big opportunity ahead. Excuse me, second longest road trip of the season. And I think we need to see some of those things trend in the direction they need to go, but I think it's a little bit too early for that.
As you look at this roster right now, Max, I mean, obviously, you know, you had Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene have big games against the Blues, but what do you think it's going to find, particularly from a guy like Josi, who we're just so used to offensively being consistent? It's been a little bit of a struggle for him this year in terms of just generating those points thus far. Are you noticing anything dramatically different with him? Is it just not going in as often right now? Some plays being taken off the board? I guess what's your view on how those three guys who were so productive last year have played to this point?
So first for Josi, on Thursday night in that win against the Blues, he had 11 shot attempts.
Yep.
And of course the goal is a funky one, a hard slapper that goes off the backboards, off the goalie, and then in. So not exactly how you draw it up, but a big power play goal. They just need to start getting their pucks on net. And I think Duchene had a really good game on Saturday night. He had 3 assists on Thursday, but wasn't shooting as much as we were used to him shooting last year. And I thought Forsberg was really good on Thursday night. So they're going to need those guys to drive the bus if they're going to win. And we saw it on Thursday. They're going to need to generate attempts, set up plays for other guys, set up rebounds, and a lot of that has to be on the rush, too, which we saw Forsberg do.
Is it just me, or is John Hines really, really switching the lineup up a lot? Like, game to game and within game. Like, way more than even he has done in the past.
Yeah, and Saturday it was period by period with Zach Sanford ending up in the top six at the end of it. So it's definitely merit-based, but it's also short-term. So Sanford had a few good periods. He gets a chance up there. They're trying Cody Glass there, but he hasn't lasted a full game up there. So certainly looking at every option they have right now and trying different combos. But I think the good part of it is with the guys who you know are going to be in that top six, I don't think there's any combo that we've seen that you would think, I never want to see that again, or that's not working. I think Gramlin can work with anybody. Niederreiter can work with anybody. And it's proven that Johansson, Forsberg, and Duchesne can do that. It's about finding that sixth piece right now and about not leaving anybody else behind either. So they found ways to use Cole Smith with different groups. I thought he's been really good the last four games. Eventually he's going to get one to fall with all these prime chances he's had. So they are moving the pieces around quite a bit, and I think I don't think they're going to keep moving it around. I just think they need to find something, and hopefully that'll come soon.
Max Herz with us here on Robbie and Rex Rose. So, Max, with that point, I mean, like you said, they're searching for it a little bit in terms of that last member of the top six. What have been your impressions of Cody Glass in terms of his overall body of work so far this year? Obviously, the last couple of games, they've tried to get him in there in the top six, and it hasn't gone overly well yet. But just overall, where do you think he is right now with his game?
Yeah, we've definitely seen flashes of it. His goal was beautiful, and it was not exactly a situation you can replicate because it was on a delayed penalty, and he hopped out there with some of the top unit, and Mikael Granlund led him on a play where he was just totally lost, and nobody had him on the defensive side for the Kings, and he scored a beautiful goal. So I think they need to just find ways to get him into more shooting opportunities. He's had the puck a lot behind the net and trying to set up plays for other guys, whereas especially when he's on the line with somebody like Granlund, I would love to see Glass in more shooting situations, more in the middle of the ice. They've had him as a center on pretty much every line he's been on. So I think that'll be the way they try to utilize him going forward. But they know he's got a high-scoring skill set, and they just want to put him in situations to do that. So I think when he has been in those situations, he's been able to show why he's up there. But especially on Thursday night where you're trying to take a lead in the third period and hold on to that lead, and you're not using him at all and shortening your bench, that's a sign of where he needs to improve in the coach's eyes.
Max, you feel like UC Soros pretty consistently starts slow. Do you think he's now past that and more into his groove now?
Yeah. Last two games I thought he was really good. He had some big saves on Saturday, including one in the first period that
it's ridiculous.
It was two saves, one on a breakaway against Anthony Mantha, and then the puck bounces around and comes back in on him. I still don't even know how many people it hit on the boomerang back through, but the second save, I don't know how he did that. He knew where the puck was going even though he was looking in the other direction, put his glove hand all the way across the goal line and stopped it. So we've seen the acrobatics, we've seen the firm positioning, we've seen the lateral movement. He's been playing the puck a lot more, too. So I think the last two games, he's really become his full self again.
Yep, just incredible save the last time out. Predators are going to be on their Western Canadian trip starting tomorrow. They'll take on the Edmonton Oilers. Got Calgary coming up on Thursday and Vancouver on Saturday. Max, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week. Have fun.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Max Herz is our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. I think the phrase I used is kind of what I feel like with this team right now. There's not much traction the Predators are getting out there. You feel like that maybe you take a step against St. Louis, you put up six goals, you play really well against a divisional opponent, and then you come back on home ice and get shut out by Washington in a game where they had John Carlson and TJ Oshie go out, and they were playing with, down two skaters the whole time. It's not great from the Predators right now.
Yeah, and I know that it's also been this Saturday home game thing. They almost need to appeal to the NHL schedule maker. Like, what's their record in Saturday home games the last couple
seasons? Well, it used to be
seasons?
Incredible, and right. Now the last couple seasons, it just feels like it hasn't gone overly well.
It's a guaranteed L. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, but I don't know. Maybe this road trip is good for them. Get out there, and I feel like they've had some good stretches away from home. Man, they got to pick it up. I thought the St. Louis win might be a little bit of a turn the other way. Seriously, the lineup juggling is extreme right now.
Well,
no?
they're searching for it in the top six, and they don't have it. I mean, that's what it is. Like, Cody Glass, I don't think is ready to be a top six forward. You know, Ellie Tolvanen can't get in the lineup right now, which I guess that will probably change as they take on Edmonton tomorrow, but they're searching for it. And meanwhile, Joe, Philip Tomasino's in Milwaukee, and he's got 4 goals in 6 games and 5 points in 6 games. Like,
that's got to be the move soon, right?
I've said this from the start, and I didn't have much patience for it to begin the season. I got less and less patience for it as you continue to move forward and you can't find anybody in the top six. Like, I understand that maybe Philip Tomasino didn't have the training camp you were looking for, and I'm all for merit-based stuff, and John Hines has made that abundantly clear since he's been here, but I feel like the guy that gives you the best chance to be the sixth guy in the top six is not on your team right now, and that's a problem. Like, he's got 5 points in 6 games, and look, I've watched a little bit of Milwaukee. It's not like he's been down there just totally dominating by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, it is what it is. Like, at some point, sooner rather than later, Philip Tomasino needs to be back up here. It's kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and that's the thing. When that first happened, it's like, well, if it's a few weeks, make sure, you know, get your stuff together, come back, then that's not bad at all. Given the struggles and given the constant mixing and matching and, hey, you're number six now and you're number six and you get a chance at number six, that makes it even more obvious, doesn't it, that he should be up here?
I would think. I mean, it's clear they don't have anybody. And I'll say this, the more I watch him play, like if this is the group you're going with and you're leaving Tomasino down there for a little while, I don't agree with it. But if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. Like, Tanner Jeannot is the best option in the top six. And I don't think it's particularly close with what they have right now. And I get it. I understand you don't want to break up that herd line. But, like, at some point, you're just going to have to do it. And you're going to have to figure it out with Trennan and Sissons and have somebody else come up there and play. Because I think of the options right now, and the options to me realistically are Glass and Tolvanen. Like, I don't know. You can put Zach Sanford up there if you want to, and you can try to, you know, nickel and dime it with Cole Smith if you want to up there. Kiefer Sherwood to begin the season. None of those options make any sense to me or are realistic as top six options. So if it's going to be with the players that they have right now and Tomasino's down there in Milwaukee, like at some point, it's Tanner Jeannot. He's your best option in the top six.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If that were the move, so then you could get back into, okay, is it worth Tomasino here as a fourth liner? Or maybe it is better for him to spend some more time up there. But, again, it's just overall, when you're struggling this much to manufacture and generate offense, go ahead and put players with offensive skill in your lineup.
Joey from Gallatin on the text line says, my biggest fear is the Preds let go of Tolvanen just for him to be a star on another team. Hines doesn't seem to know how to use him. Maybe. I think there's also a possibility that maybe he's just not very good. Like, that to me is starting to become more of the likelihood here. He's just not what you thought he was, which is a problem. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans, their performance yesterday against the Texans, and a little bit of controversy surrounding the Titans over the weekend as well. We'll get to all of that coming up. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up with promo code ROB. Lots of great action coming up. Got the Monday Night Football game tonight. I told you about the Bengals. I've taken them on the money line and give me Tyler Boyd as an anytime touchdown scorer. The Titans and the Chiefs. Titans double-digit underdogs heading into this game in Kansas City on Sunday. You can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, what's up, buddy? You know what I'm thinking about while I'm watching that game yesterday, man? I'm sitting here going, Robbie and Joe and Michelle are think I'm the biggest idiot in the world for saying 31-30 in this football game.
Nah.
Dude, Robbie said if they score 30, we lose, which is what we got routed if they would have scored 30. Oh, yeah. But, oh, my God. I need to apologize to our defense. I had no idea that they were going to do what they did yesterday. But then again, and I was also thinking with Malik, man, they're going to put something cool in here. I didn't see him have, like, one lane to run. I figured it would be, like, early Vince, where it was just like, just give him a chance to run around and make a play. Every time he tried to run, he looked goofy running the ball. Really didn't have anybody to throw it to. Luckily, Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry big time yesterday. But, I felt like a big idiot. I don't think I've ever missed a score that bad. That's not indicative of how good I am at picking these games like that.
Hey, like, you got the winner right, though.
I've had good runs, but I've never missed it that bad. I would have lost money big time yesterday.
A lot of faith in that Titans offense from Adam. Adam, appreciate the call.
Yeah, buddy.
He said, you got the right winner.
He called in on Friday, said 31. I was like, oh, boy. And he said Houston's going to score 30. I was like, oh, yeah. Here we go.
Man.
Take the over.
I mean, it's at one point, I thought maybe they'd combine for about
9.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they got all the
first
way.
First quarter and a half, man. It was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, you tweeted what, over under 9.5 or something?
Yeah.
It was rough.
So hope others took the under, didn't listen to Adam. And also don't ever listen to me on anything.
Thank you. the ceiling for Joe Rexrode never gets past the armchair on this program.
just taking the English language to new heights.
That's right.
You know, really.
So, Joe, apparently a little bit of a situation with Rashad Weaver over the weekend. Apparently, I guess there was a screenshot of Rashad Weaver on Instagram where I guess did he not show up to a meeting or a conditioning test or treatment?
Scheduled appointment
treatment.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got fined. Apparently, what was it? $1,100 and change.
Yeah.
And then put on Instagram, they lame AF at Titans. AF means as F word. So called the Titans lame for fining him for that. So I don't know. I think that's pretty standard operating procedure. But I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess I have no idea, honestly. When players miss treatments or are late for treatments, like how often does a fine get kicked in? You don't have to, but they did. So now he went on Instagram, and someone asked on the text line earlier, like, that's why he didn't play? No. He's hurt. I think the Titans are going to hurt themselves by not playing a key player because he called them lame on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know how big this story is, but it's a little bit like, a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. It's another example.
I can promise you this. Vrabel and Robinson are probably not very happy with Rashad Weaver about this.
No. Another thing he did in the course of doing this is he basically posted the letter they gave him. He posted his address up there. So
yeah.
That might be the biggest problem of all this for anyone involved is that now people have his address.
Use a little bit more sense out there, buddy.
Yeah. Pretty stupid. So I don't think this is some huge deal, but it's look. A.J. Brown's not the only guy who on social media sometimes can get in trouble and look kind of silly.
Well, this is going to become more and more a thing as more people who have grown up on social media come around. But, like, it's like, as Herm Edwards used to say, baby, just don't press send. That's all it is. Just don't press send.
Listen, I didn't hit send on my tweets on Saturday night.
There we go.
I promise it'll help you.
Just don't press
They're
send.
They're just in the drafts.
Yeah. No, it's, it's just stay away from it. And if you're gonna press send, make sure you're paying that $20 a month to get your verification check.
Yeah,
you know?
There's that too.
Is there a verification on Instagram?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I think it's free.
Maybe I'll switch to Instagram.
Oh, please do.
I mean, if I was on Instagram, I would have seen this from Rashad Weaver and wouldn't have had to rely on the internet to tell me about it.
Yes, Joe selfies on Insta. Let's go.
Let's get more of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean.
More talk of Joe's body.
My body. Put my body on Insta.
So, Joe, without Rashad Weaver, I thought the Titans had one of the more dominant performances I've seen for them, really in the history of their franchise yesterday, until that last drive. Texans had 69 total yards of offense before that last drive yesterday. And then they go down the field, they score, and make a 17-10 score look a lot better than the game actually was in that game. But defensively, I thought the Titans were awesome. Corey Curtis brought it up earlier. Jeffrey Simmons was an absolute monster in that game and probably was not playing that game at 100% with the ankle injury that he was dealing with, but still just totally wrecked the game. And Christian Fulton, I mean, there's a lot of different guys you could point to yesterday, but those two stand out to me. Jeffrey Simmons was amazing yesterday, and Christian Fulton, I think, has been really good for basically the whole season so far.
If Jeffrey Simmons didn't have a bum ankle, would he have just taken their entire offensive line and played it like an accordion?
Might have.
He's throwing dudes into running backs. Now, it was like that guy was questionable? My goodness.
And Adam Archuleta brought this up on the broadcast for CBS. Like, it's not like – I mean, the Texans' offensive line's not great. But it's not like they've just been getting caved in all year either. And that's what Jeffrey Simmons did yesterday. No, just caved them in.
Yeah, they haven't been. They actually have some talent on that offensive line. But he dominated. I agree. Fulton, long, continues to just be all over the place. Byard, too. Byard had a pick in his hands, and he also jumped one of those under routes. Man, he was about – I mean, he almost took it back on that one. Walker,
another
with
one where Davis Mills' reach was good there. It's a good thing he let that ball go.
Just had to go gadget that just out of his reach. Tart is doing really well for the Titans. They've got a legit crew. You get Weaver back, and yes, I think the Insta post will not keep him from being in the lineup when he's healthy. But you get him in there with Bud Dupree now, who had a sack too yesterday. I think he got credit for that sack, right?
I believe so.
And then what Simmons is doing, and then, again, Fulton looking like a legit number one cornerback in the NFL right now. That's a pretty good group. I'm excited to watch them against the Chiefs and see if matchups are different, but it is kind of a chance to show progress from 41-7 at Buffalo.
Well,
on that side of the ball anyway.
Well, and it's a quality opponent. Like, we've gotten a lot of texts today on the text line saying, yeah, all that's great, but the Titans have beaten the Commanders, the Colts twice, the Texans, and a Raiders team that apparently is horrible, even though they have good offensive talent. And I get it. I mean, those are fair points to bring up. They've won five games in a row, and quite frankly, I'm not sure they've beaten a good team yet in those five games. So that is very valid. We're going to find out not only more about the team as a whole coming up on Sunday, but the defense. Like, if the Titans' defense goes out and plays well against Kansas City, then I think you may have something as you move forward here. If they get torched, then I don't really know what to think about this team moving forward. It is Patrick Mahomes. It is on the road on Sunday night at Arrowhead, and this is the highest scoring offense in the NFL. So they're going to put up some points, but if you're the Titans defense and you can get after Mahomes the way you got after him last year and they don't have Tyreek Hill, that'd be good. I think that's probably the game plan for the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a big opportunity, and all these criticisms are fair. I mean, they haven't. It's not like they've beaten anyone that's especially good. I mean, who is the best team they beat? I mean, I guess you could still possibly give it to the Colts. I mean, gosh, I don't know. The Commanders went in and won in Indy yesterday.
Maybe the Commanders
also beat the Packers.
Commanders did beat them. Yeah,
everybody's doing that.
Exactly. That doesn't make you special anymore. But
the Lions are going to beat them this week.
Do you really think so?
Yes.
Wow, that'd be perfect. The Lions screwing up their chance to get a franchise quarterback. But, like, five straight wins is still five straight wins, and finding a way in these games is still finding a way. I still think you have to be, if you're a Titans fan, impressed. Like John in the text line, I watch every Titans game until they beat a team with a winning record outside of when the Colts were. I won't take them seriously as a contender. That's fine. I mean, contender, to me, it's Bills – and then a little step down, and it's Chiefs, and then I would put the Titans in with anybody else there, including the Bengals, whoever you want to throw out, the Ravens. I mean, I think the Titans could beat any of those other teams on a particular day if they play well. I don't think they could beat the Bills or Chiefs in the playoffs, but get there first and try to get better. And that's why in the next 24 hours, maybe do something to give yourself more of a chance to be better.
Well, and I've said this before, like a lot of what you're going to hear is, well, the Titans could add a receiver and they could add an offensive lineman. What difference is it going to make if you have to play Buffalo or if you have to play Kansas City in the playoffs?
It could make a difference.
It can make a difference, number one. But also, you just got to be worried about you. Like, you've got to make your team as good as you can possibly make it and then let the chips fall where they may. Like, you know, I said this last week. I'm not wishing for this to happen by any stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, it's the NFL. Patrick Mahomes could go down in week 15. You feel a little bit different about the Chiefs matchup. Josh Allen could go down. Apparently, he's not going to stop running the ball, trying to run over people every game, and he's being pretty successful at. I mean, he could go down week 16, and it's a different Buffalo team. Like, you can't get caught up in what other teams around you are doing if you're an NFL general manager, because the picture can change so quickly in this league.
Exactly. I mean, 3 years ago at this point, the Ravens were on their way to dominating the AFC, which they did, and getting the one seed with the MVP. The Titans, at that point, were laughable to be considered a playoff team. They went and beat them in the playoffs, on the road, in primetime. Like if you would have said that at this exact stage of 2019, you would have been laughed out of wherever you were. So you just, I mean, like they get to play the Chiefs this week, so there's a little bit of a barometer. But like you said, who knows what teams are going to be looking like 3 months from now.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will also get into the Vols' domination against Kentucky coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. A festive Michelle Knezovic this morning, wearing her Tennessee orange pullover after Tennessee destroys Kentucky. 44-6, the final score on Saturday. Michelle, you were there in person. How are we doing on this Monday morning?
Listen, okay, I am fine. But I would just like to do a quick little rant here for a second.
Oh, here we go.
If you're not a Tennessee fan, don't talk crap to me.
Oh.
See, yeah. Listen, all these bandwagon fans now, like, Robbie, you're a Tennessee fan. You and I have, since I started working here, gone back and forth about it, right? You know?
Sure.
But all these,
I guess it's back
listen,
and forth.
These Louisville people, these Louisville fans, no. Listen, I'm going to shout out Junie really quick. He had the audacity to tweet that I'm 0-3 to Robbie. Okay, Robbie, you can tell that to me, but I distinctly remember when Kentucky beat Louisville last year and Junie didn't wear a blue shirt to work. No. So let's just
remember. He was supposed to?
He was supposed to, and I have the receipts, and I'm trying to find them.
It's a violation from Junie.
Listen, come on. You can talk crap to me all day, but listen, at least I follow through with my bets.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Violation from Junie.
Thank you.
I was going to say, you should rip on the steel curtain, but you're kind of a Steelers fan too, right?
What's to rip on?
And they're still better than being a Bears fan, Ryan in Chicago.
And that's what I went to on Saturday when I was upset.
Yeah. Tell Ryan about how sucky his Bears are. Yeah, it makes you feel better sometimes.
Michelle's got a lot of compliments on social media of the outfit she's wearing today. We've tweeted it out at 1025 The Game, at R. Stanley NHL as well. So, Michelle looking good in Tennessee orange. She's getting comfortable wearing it.
Beautiful.
I'm running out of Tennessee stuff. We've got to quit making these bets.
Well, no, we have a new one. So Chase,
next time it'll be Rocky Top.
Yeah, the suit has let us know that I didn't realize he could play. Apparently, he can play Rocky Top on his guitar.
Yeah.
So next time you guys, what will this be? I guess hoop season?
I guess.
Bring it on, baby.
And hey, I mean, certainly that's totally up in the air. I mean, Kentucky, they got a lot of five stars.
I would just like to remind everyone, Robbie and I didn't make the bet when Kentucky beat Tennessee in Rupp Arena last year.
I can't help it. You keep making this bet.
Technically, it's 3-1.
So the next time, Chase is going to bring in the guitar and you will be singing Rocky Top. But I guess the question then, what if you win, though? What if you win? Is it just can? Does Robbie have to sing something?
If I win, then every segment before we go to break, Robbie has to say Kentucky basketball is the best basketball program.
No. You're not going to be able to win one time. That sounds excessive. And all of a sudden I can do something every segment.
Yeah, that sounds excessive.
Let us know. Text us on the text line.
Yeah, we'll take your thoughts. What can we sing for Kentucky?
I've got to agree to the bet. She's the one that keeps bringing up the bet every time. Just happens to not work out for her.
Make sure you make the bet before the home game at Rupp. Make that bet then.
6-1-5.
Technically 3-1, okay?
7-3-7-1-0-2-5. Joe, you were there for this game too. I mean, the score is just utter domination. 44-6. They win. Tennessee's defense, really the story of the game to me. I know they put up 44 points, but you expect that from Tennessee's offense. The defense holding Kentucky to 6 and forcing 3 interceptions in that game. I did not see that part of it coming. I thought that the defense matchup-wise may have a little bit more success in this game just because, honestly, I think the way Kentucky wants to play offense plays right into the hands of Tennessee's defense, and that's basically what happened on Saturday. But the 3 interceptions, a big deal in this game, and even though I think the offense kind of played into Tennessee's hands a little bit, I still expected Kentucky to have more offensive success than they had in this game.
Oh, I expect a lot more. And the first, it wasn't their first, but I guess it was second possession, right? They score a TD, and Chris Rodriguez is running wild. And it's like, yep, look at that guy. Michelle's called shot of 150 and 2 touchdowns at that point. I'm like, boy, I think that looks pretty good.
Don't need to be reminded. Already will be Friday.
I mean, I thought Kentucky was definitely going to score points. I thought actually both offenses would be better, which is hilarious because we're nitpicking Hendon Hooker and a Tennessee offense that, you know, just didn't score a touchdown every time it had the ball. But Tennessee found some defense in this game that, first of all, there's some things about Tennessee's defense that I think are very underrated. Guys like Amari Thomas and Byron Young, those guys are they're going to be pros, okay? Yep. They've got some guys up there. They got legit players up front. And after that drive, boy, were they good against Chris Rodriguez. Because you got to swarm that guy. He's a tackle breaker all day. They swarmed him. I thought the safeties, you know, I mean, Trayvon Flowers has his issues sometimes in space. He's a heck of a run-stopping safety, you know. They're good up front. And then you get Danico Slaughter kind of – he was the backup star. Then he was the starting star. Then he was the safety when Jalen McCullough was out. And they move him to corner in this game. And I thought it was the best corner play they've had.
Yeah.
So now you have him. You're going to get Haddon back this week. I think that might be your best bet is to go with those two on the outside.
It could be.
Even though Slaughter's like, no, I want to be a safety still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the defense played really well. I mean, offensively for Tennessee, I mean, obviously 44 points is good. You'll take that. I did think they left some points on the table. I mean, the second drive of the game, you know, it ultimately didn't end up mattering, but at the time, you're thinking, like, every possession is critical because Tennessee's defense, we didn't know what was about to happen. But, like, the second drive of the game, they get out there and all of a sudden you're taking penalties and it's first and 25 and you're just like, well, I know their offense is good, but you keep taking penalties like that, you're going to put yourself behind the sticks there.
Yep.
I felt like there's a little bit more of that with Tennessee's offense on Saturday and just execution-wise, some things that didn't go overly well. Having said all that, Hendon Hooker, 19 of 25, 245, 3 touchdowns, ran in another one, and they ran the ball for 177 yards on the ground. So if that's your off day offensively, you'll take that.
Yeah, 19 for 25, 245, 3 touchdowns, and 2 touchdown passes dropped.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember exactly, like, you know, if one of those drives finished with a touchdown, you can't say that would have been on his final. I don't think so. I don't think either of them did. So actually, he just easily could have just been. It could have been 5 touchdowns, and it could have been into the 50s. And
yeah, both those ended in field goals, I think.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, get some talking. They only got 44.
Stephen A. Smith, they didn't beat them by 50, baby.
They only lost this game by 38. Just beautiful.
That is the fact that you piped in on that, that's outstanding.
Listen, I started having wild takes after the game. Thank God Ryan was the only one who heard them. I just was.
Oh, you're firing Mark Stoops?
No.
Oh, okay.
I basically was like, well, you know what? Good job. You beat Kentucky football. Like, I played the opposite then. But
playing
listen,
the
there we go.
Good job. I'm wearing orange. Team had a fantastic performance. The Vols did.
That's 35 of 38.
Kentucky sucked, and Will Levis sucked so bad.
35 of 38 for Tennessee against Kentucky.
Yeah, that's. I mean, Stoops is 2-8. Stoops done a fantastic job. Which, by the way, we could bring the program discussion back. But Kyle Tucker,
yeah, let's do that.
Who actually Kyle Tucker wrote, about. Like, basically, all these years of building for Kentucky, now, boom, up, Tennessee's ahead of you, sorry, which is tough for Kentucky football fans. But you also have to be realistic. But here's what he says on Levis. The decision-making Levis also tough to gauge because the O-line is bleep. He's been hammered all year, and he's shook, and also he's on his fourth OC in 4 years. And, I mean, I think that's all fair. I have seen Levis look really good. The other night, I'm watching him just – Because there were times when he actually did have protection. I understand if you're seeing ghosts, that can mess you up.
Sure.
But there were times when he had protection. He had time. And he just waited way too long to deliver the ball. And he's got a lot of work to do before he becomes an NFL player that some people think he'll be.
We'll take your thoughts on the Vols and their big win against Kentucky. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And one player that is continuing to turn heads on a weekly basis for Tennessee that we'll get to next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's me, Michelle Knezovic, here for Superbook Sports. And when it comes to sports, it is all happening right now. We've got football, basketball, a little postseason, baseball, hockey, and soon enough, the World Cup. We got a little Monday night football action tonight. The Battle of Ohio, the Browns versus the Bengals. Listen, I'm taking Joe Burrow on the over, probably an anytime touchdown by T. Higgins, and give me the Bengals on the money line. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbooks. When you sign up, deposit, and wager all on the same day, Superbook Sports will give you a bonus up to $1,000. Yes, there's three zeros on the end of that. So when the sports world is busy, it is time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit Superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Vols. They win 44-6 on Saturday against Kentucky, coming up against Georgia this week, number one versus number two in the AP poll. Tennessee apparently tied with Ohio State in the AP poll. The college football rankings coming out tomorrow night.
And I think it will be number one Tennessee. I can't believe Tennessee wouldn't be number one. Their resume is absolutely the best resume. I think they'll be number one, and I think Georgia will probably be number two. So you flip it around.
Yeah.
Number one at number two.
I wonder which one CBS is going to show on the graphic. They're going to put Georgia at one. They're going to put Tennessee at one.
Well, I believe everything switches to CFP rankings, doesn't it? I think that's correct. So I think as soon as the CFP rankings start coming out, that's what everybody goes with, how it should be.
It should be.
So thank you for playing AP and coaches poll. You no longer need to keep voting.
Jimmy Joe.
What? No, that's an evergreen statement. Whoever is at the top, like those polls now are like, okay, great. Thanks for wasting your own time.
Georgia is an 8.5-point favorite against Tennessee on FanDuel. We'll get to the Georgia matchup all week because that one is going to be
kind of
a colossal matchup between the Vols and the Bulldogs coming up for basically, we think, a spot in the SEC title game on Saturday against the Dogs. But there's one guy, Joe, on Tennessee that continues on a weekly basis to turn heads, and it's Jalin Hyatt. 5 catches, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns for Hyatt in this game against Kentucky. He had the first one about a minute and a half into the game, and they were just off and running from there. Over his last 3 games, he's caught 9 touchdowns. He's got almost 600 yards receiving, and that's in a 3-game sample size against Alabama, UT Martin, and Kentucky. I mean, the guy is playing at an unbelievable level right now.
Yeah, now he's an All-American. He's got a chance to win the Biletnikoff, top receiver in the country. Hey, if you want to throw him in, hey, he and Hendon Hooker can go to New York together. Put him on the Heisman ballot. Now, he's also has some incredible like invisibility cloak, or he's like Pigpen and Peanuts. I don't know what's going on, but like he's running 20 yards free all over the place. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know how this keeps happening to defenses, but it does. But also there are times when people try to cover him and it doesn't matter and he just blows by them. So now they got Tillman back for a game. So that's a good – get him back for a game, get him back in there. Now you're going to see the full force of those 3 receivers. Saturday for the first time in a while.
Well, and Tillman got in there on Saturday on a little bit of a pitch count. I mean, the numbers, he was 4 catches, 22 yards. Now, on the second Jalen Hyatt touchdown, you can go back and watch it. Tillman and Hyatt are lined up together, split out to the right. And Tillman, you know, does the in-breaking route. And I swear, three guys followed him. Three guys followed Cedric Tillman inside. And Hyatt's running down sideline, just like waving his arm.
That's what I'm saying.
He's wide open. And Hooker just looks around. And like Hooker,
like
you could
stealth bomber.
You could tell like Hooker like hesitated for a second because he's like, is he that wide open? Okay. And he just threw the ball. Touchdown again. Like you said, I don't know how it keeps happening, but it does. He's wide open every game.
It's wild. It is wild. But you know, that win, another thing to point out on the big picture implication. To me now, and if you're a Tennessee fan who's like, shut up and don't jinx it. Well, sorry. They're going to beat South Carolina, which was horribly overrated, which lost at home to Missouri. They're going to beat Missouri. They're going to beat Vanderbilt. Okay. They're going to beat them all badly. Okay. Like, I'm telling you right now, they're beating all the three of those teams badly. So what Saturday's win did to me is it guaranteed that on Selection Day, December 4th, like the Vols will be huddled around the TV hoping to get in. Whether they lose this week to Georgia or whether they win this week, lose in the SEC title game the day before it. I mean, to me, if they beat Georgia, I think they're going to be
If they win Saturday, to me, they're in the college football playoff.
It would be very hard to envision a scenario where they win Saturday and aren't in the playoff. Like, it's – I mean, I suppose, okay, Ohio State undefeated, Clemson undefeated. What's the SEC? That's the thing. I mean, Georgia should not be able to get past them. So Alabama beats them in the tie game. There's a third.
And then it would be TCU, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, TCU, I guess, like, is TCU going defeated? I mean, I guess there's that possibility. Now, like, Michigan, if Michigan, like, loses at Ohio State and that's all their only loss, that's not – their resume doesn't come close to Tennessee. Yeah. So, I think they basically punch their ticket with a win. And with a loss, they're still very much going to be in the mix on that day. Because, again, they're going to blow out the other three teams. Thank you. Lock it in right now.
Missouri's the only one.
Does this make you uncomfortable,
no.
Tennessee fan?
No.
Okay. All right.
Good. They'll beat Missouri. I think Missouri actually has a good defense. And I think South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
So does Kentucky.
Yeah, I know.
So does Alabama.
I think South Carolina and Vanderbilt, Tennessee could name their score. I really do. Like, I think that they could put up 85 points if they want to.
They will name their score on Missouri, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. We're going to find out this week. Okay. Here's another. This is the best defense.
This is going to be their biggest test.
Because I don't honestly.
It's not impenetrable like it was last year. But they're still pretty good.
I mean they had five dudes from last year's defense go in the first round. It is not last year's defense. It's good. Now the thing about Georgia is, and I know we got all week for this, but I'm already getting excited. The thing about Georgia is, you know, they're the number two offense in the country.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like Georgia this year they are a better offensive team than last year.
And they have some tight ends that are just a giant problem.
Yeah. I mean, Brock Bowers is he going to do some damage on Sundays, man?
Yes, he is.
No, I mean, it's like Tennessee's defense, it's a good confidence builder against Kentucky, and you got to find some stops Saturday. But there's going to be some this is going to be a track meet kind of game. But I'm still waiting for a good defense to actually do anything against the Vols offense right now.
Has not happened yet. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Jonathan. Jonathan, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love your show. I'm a huge Michigan State fan, alum here, living here in Nashville. And it was just really a huge disappointment to see what happened in the tunnel at the game. And I just want to kind of get your thoughts on this. You know, where does accountability lie? Accountability and discipline are in the football team's core values. And the school, the coach, the AD came out and said that. But how high up do you think accountability should go in college football? I'll mute my line.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, if you missed it, an incident in the Michigan-Michigan State game after the game, and it's basically four players from Michigan State just ragdolling a Michigan player in the locker room. There's a lot of talk after the game. Mel Tucker's released a statement. Jim Harbaugh was talking about how it was assault in the locker room and that the authorities need to be involved, and the authorities are now involved. And so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes from here. But what do you make of Jonathan's question there?
Yeah, my buddy Matt Charbonneau is one of the three reporters on the beat who are right there. He got the video that's everywhere. That's everyone is seeing, and it's ugly. Those four players, I guess, have been suspended now by Mel Tucker. So yep. I think indefinitely. I think two of them are starters. So, I mean, you have to do that. There's no question. I will say, you know, I don't know. I mean, the Michigan player, there's video of him, like, he, like, went in early and, like, he went in, I guess, to taunt them. I don't know why, you know, you do that. But there's no excuse at all for what they did. It's pretty nasty. I would say that rivalry, I've said this before, it's bad. Like, the hatred in that rivalry is – and again, it, like, it gets to the point where it's like, yeah, we're talking about a game, folks. I mean, I understand there's passion and back and forth and, you know, in-state is – there's nothing like in-state rivalry, but, like, it's gotten toxic. Harbaugh is part of that. You know, you can go back to Harbaugh, ask Jim Schwartz, like, that's kind of who he is. So he has made it more of a taunting kind of thing. But, again, that's not excusing at all what those guys did. They should be held accountable, absolutely. And so the perception is like Mel Tucker, you know, does he have control of the program and things like that? And, that's just the reality. He's going to have to deal with that. Harbaugh is a taunter. That's what he has been going back to his time as a player. So that has turned up the nastiness of the whole thing. But just with this rivalry and others, like, can we all step back and be like, dude, come on, it's sports.
It was rough. Rough stuff in there in the locker room on Saturday with Michigan and Michigan State. Joe, before we get out of here, Joe on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking about your Tennessee take with Missouri, South Carolina, and Vandy.
Yep.
Says, let's not say lock it in with your history of locks this year. It's from Joe.
Well, that's fair.
That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for Robbie to be like, no, not you. You can't say that. Now, Joe, I will tell you, locked down the Lions against the Dolphins, and they finally came through for me. So I got my first lock of the year because the Lions did not cover the spread.
It was so close.
Bless
though.
You, Lions. Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, here we go. Now they're going to play a great game because I locked it in. But they actually revealed their true selves. So I think we're all okay now, Joe.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll have a whole lot more to get to on the Titans tomorrow. NFL trade deadline day. Looking ahead to Tennessee and Georgia coming up on Saturday as well. Lots to get to all week long. Thanks for being with us. Chase Willie and D-Mace coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.